I have a very intriguing message today called The Mystery of the Eighth Beast, Whose Death Wound is Healed. I'm going to read a verse of scripture that will come on the screen, but I'm going to read another verse that I added today. Here is mine that has wisdom, Revelation 17. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. The beast that was and is not is himself the eighth, meaning the eighth kingdom, and is of the seven, coming out of one of the seven previous empires, and will go into perdition, and that's the Greek word for destruction. The other verse I added today is Revelation 13 and 3. I saw one of the beast's heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. In other words, they were so amazed that this thing that is identified in the symbolism of beast could come back to life and back to power and take control of the world. They were stunned as a result of it. There's four questions I hope to deal with, or four goals I hope in the next 50 minutes or 60 minutes to deal with you. Number one, why is so much beast in imagery or animal imagery used in apocalyptic biblical literature? Secondly, what does it mean when it says the beast's deadly wound was healed? Number three, how will this empire that is presently dead, that existed at one time, is not now, but will come back to life, how will it be resurrected somewhere in the Middle East? Fourthly, what is the bloodline of the Antichrist? There are four main apocalyptic books in Scripture. They are, as most of you know, the book of Daniel, which uses symbolism. The book of Revelation, which also is filled with what's called prophetic symbolism. There's portions of the book of Ezekiel. You see the cherubim. You see the different creatures of chapter 1 and chapter 10. Also, you see the vision of the millennial temple, the valley of dry bones in chapter 37. So that the book of Ezekiel, part of it is definitely apocalyptic. And then you also have the book of Zechariah, which when you get into chapter 11 and chapter 12 and chapter 13 and 14, those chapters in particular even predict that the Lord's coming back on the Mount of Olives and it will split in two parts. Then it talks about the king ruling from Jerusalem. So there is biblical apocalyptic literature. What is apocalyptic? The word apocalypsis means the unveiling of something that is hid. So the Bible uses symbolism to conceal a mystery. And so you must study the symbolism to understand what is the mystery telling you. Why did God use symbolism? Because if God were to give, in some instances, a direct prophecy to a nation, that nation, the national leaders would kill that prophet and destroy his writings. Can I give you one example? The reason that John used symbolism and God let him use symbolism on the Isle of Patmos is he was a political prisoner under the Emperor Domitian. Domitian thought that the early church believed, and they did at one point, that John would still be living when Jesus would return. So he put John in a pot of oil, boiled him, he didn't die. Stuck him on the Isle of Patmos for him to die, and he outlived Domitian. Come on, somebody. But in the book of Revelation, the reason it doesn't say in chapter 17 and 18 that Rome will be destroyed is if the Romans would have read that, when they saw it in the scroll, they would have burnt the scroll. He used what? Symbolism. So symbolism protects Bible prophecy. I felt that when I said it. Symbolism protects Bible prophecy. There are non-biblical apocalyptic books. We won't get into any of these, but 1st and 2nd Enoch, fourth Ezra, the Apocalypse of Adam, the Apocalypse of Peter, and there was a book which was read, and believe it or not, was really recognized in the early church. It was a vision called the Shepherd of Hermas in the early church. And by the way, the Shepherd of Hermas predicted that the Lord would come in a pre-tribulation rapture. Hello, for all those pre-tribulation people. Shepherd of Hermas deals with the beast and how the church would escape it if they would be serving God. Now, the Antichrist, who is a man who will arise in the future to form this eighth empire, is used in prophetic symbolism, identified as a beast in the book of Revelation and also in the book of Daniel. Now, if we look at the book of Revelation's point of view and we see the word beast, I'm going to show you in a moment how there are two different Greek words used for beast in the book of Revelation and why that is so. If we go into the book of Daniel and look at these beasts, we find in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, which are the two main verses, that there are four beasts that are identified as empires of prophecy. One is a lion that has a set of wings whose two wings are plucked up. After that beast comes a bear with three ribs in its mouth. After that beast comes a leopard. And in one of the other chapters, there's a he-goat and a ram that battle with each other. Then we find out, if we keep reading in Daniel chapter 7, there's a non-descriptive beast. He just says it's a beast, and it has 10 horns on its head, and it is the most vicious of all the other beasts that were before it. When you interpret who these are from the traditional interpretation of scholars, the lion is Babylon, and we discover that the bear is the Media-Persian Empire, and they uprooted three nations when they came to power. That's the three ribs in the mouth. The leopard and the goat are Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire, because the leopard has great speed, and Alexander the Great conquered the known world by the time he was 32 years of age. The reason I think lions might be used in Babylon is some of the largest lions were found in the Babylonian region, empire in its day. The reason the bear is used for Media-Persia is probably because some of the largest, most vicious bears on history were recorded in the area of Persia, the Persian mountains. And again, the goat represented Greece, because there was a whole story of how Greece was founded. Macedonia was founded by a herd of goats running in a lightning storm. All this is in history. But the last beast, which is the one we want to focus on, is a rather nondescriptive beast, but he is called a beast. This beast is called a beast by Daniel. He is called a beast in the book of Revelation. Now, to understand the word beast, you have to understand a couple key things. Number one, that the word beast is used in the book of Revelation 44 times. However, it is not talking about the Antichrist or the false prophet in every reference. For example, in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 7, there are angels, and they are described as four beasts, the head of an ox and an eagle and a lion and a man. And the Greek word there is the Greek word zoon, which means a living creature, a creature that lives, an animal that's living or alive. And these are angelic beings, by the way. We don't have time to talk about the four gospels and the ox and the eagle and the lion and the man represents the four gospels and how it represents the ministry of Jesus, etc. However, when you come to Revelation chapter 13, 1 through 18, it says, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Then I saw another beast like a lamb with two horns, and it uses the word beast. Totally different Greek word. It is not the Greek word alluding to the angels that are in heaven that are called beast. This is the Greek word therion. And therion is a Greek word describing a very vicious, dangerous animal that rips something apart with its teeth and its mouth. So when you see anywhere that the false prophet is mentioned in Revelation or the Antichrist is mentioned, and the word beast is connected with the 10 kings, with his empire, with the 8th kingdom, or the Antichrist himself, it will never be the word used for the angels. It will always be the Greek word therion. And therion is very interesting, because in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 13, it says that when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted, that he was there with beast. It's in the King James translation. Guess what Greek word that is? Not the one about the angels. It's the word therion. Same word used for the Antichrist. In Revelation 6 and 8, men shall be killed by the beast of the earth. Guess what Greek word that is? It's the Greek word therion. So in other words, when you see this word used about an actual animal, it is a dangerous, deadly animal. So God takes that symbolism of a dangerous animal that destroys with its teeth and its mouth and places it as an identification for the Antichrist. And we're going to give you the verses in a moment that really show just how dangerous he is. In fact, let's go to that right now. In Daniel chapter 7, there's two verses that I want to give you. And now remember, this is Daniel's fourth beast, and this is the beast of the Antichrist who forms the 10 kings. But notice what it says. Thus he said, the fourth beast, again, the Antichrist kingdom here, will be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Notice the word devour. It devours with its mouth, with its teeth, according to the prophecies. Daniel 7 verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and exceeding strong, and it had iron teeth. It devoured, it broke in pieces, it stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. Now let me stop, because this is not in the outline. And Jonathan, if you'll hold it right there for a moment. When you begin to talk about the number 10, you see it in several places. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the metallic image, which the head of gold, which is Babylon, chest of arms and silver, which is Media and Persia, hips of brass, which is Greece, legs of iron, which was the Roman Empire. He gets to the last days, and he said, now there's 2 feet. One is east and one is west. And they are a mixture of iron and clay. Now that is communism and democracy. The early fathers even noted that the clay was democracy. That's what they wrote about. So communism and democracy. But when you get down to the very end of the 10 toes that are partly iron and clay, they try to mingle, but they don't hold together. That is apostate Christianity that comes out of the democracies and radical Islam. It doesn't mix together. And I wish I had time to develop that and go into that in detail, but that would be taking us away from the theme, which is the eighth beast and the deadly wound. Now, the question arises in Revelation, how does this beast, how does this man, how does this wicked person that the Bible talks about, how is he able to devour the nations? And the answer is one word. It's called war, W-A-R, war. And here's the verses. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. John asks this question, who can make war against the beast? Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Chapter 13, verse 7. Chapter 17, verse 14. Listen to what it says. And this beast, again, don't get the image of a wild animal. It's the symbol of a wild animal, but get the image of a man that represents this wild animal. This is who we're talking about. Here's what the Bible says. He will make war with Israel. He will make war with the saints, and he will make war with the Lamb. Well, he made a big mistake on number three. Y'all will get that in a minute. So this tells you who he's going to war against. He's going to hate the Jews. He's going to hate the nation of Israel. And he's going to hate the saints. Now the saints there, someone said, well, see, that's proof that the church is in the tribulation. Folks, just listen to me. Let me make one thing clear. In the entire 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, the church is mentioned by name, church ecclesia, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, and never mentioned again after that. Okay? So when Daniel is mentioning the saints of the Most High, that this beast will come after and try to wear out the saints of the Most High, he is not prophesying the church. He is talking about the Kodeshim, which are the holy ones, which were in his day, the Jewish people, because God said to Daniel, this prophecy is for Israel, Jerusalem, and your people. He makes it clear who it's addressed to. And so when you begin to look at the idea of saints, just remember these are people, many, many people, 144,000 Jews are called saints. They're sealed with the seal of God in the tribulation. So we don't want to, again, get sidetracked. We'll stay on the theme here. So how does he devour? He devours in war. He makes war. Revelation 20, verse 4. During the times of war, he is beheading those who do not agree with his religion, with his false prophet, or with his political views. And you and I know this, this is no secret, that radical Islam uses the sword to behead people that are considered to be enemies of that particular belief. So I think that that speaks for itself when you understand what John is teaching about the future. There will also be wars in northern Africa. Daniel chapter 11, verse 43. Three countries that the Antichrist takes over before he ever comes into Jerusalem are Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. And that is found in the book of Daniel. The one nation, there's only one nation that according to your Bible can escape the Antichrist, and it is the country of Jordan. Jordan in Daniel is called Edom, Moab, and the chief children of Ammon. And according to the scriptures, Edom, Moab, and the chief children of Ammon will escape the hand of the Antichrist. And I believe that's because of a place called Petra, the city of Petra, the fortified city of Petra, where many of the Jews will flee. And how many know what I'm talking about now? Will flee during the tribulation. Many of you who are scholars, we may have some scholars here, students of scripture, you've heard us teach on that as well. Now, we do know that, and again, we're on the subject of how will he devour the world? What method does he use? He becomes great with a little army, the Bible says. He is first called a little horn. And that little horn has a mouth speaking great things, according to Daniel. So he impresses people, not by his appearance, not by the size of his army, not by the size of the nation he's over, because he starts out small, but he gathers a coalition, 10 kings. There's his power. That's where his authority is coming from, because he has 10 nations who come into agreement with him to attack the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, in the last days. Then it says in Daniel 11:44 through 45, I believe we have this verse. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go away with great fury. Here's the verse again. To destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end and none will help him. Now, the seas that are mentioned here, if you look at a map of Israel, you have the Mediterranean Sea and then you have the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea happens to be divided between Israel and the country of Jordan. The Jordan River is the dividing line of Jordan and Israel. And so when you look at the prophecy where it says he will set up his palace between the seas, what city is between the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea? You should know it. It's called Jerusalem. And he plants the tabernacle of his palace in the city of Jerusalem, and he becomes a hero to those of his religion, his particular background. Now, let's look at some more scriptures, because I want you to get this imagery in your mind of Daniel chapter 7 verses 7 and 8. I do believe we have those available for you to see. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceeding strong, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. It was diverse from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. There's your 10 kings. Daniel 2, the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's image. That's the 10 kings. Then you have the beast in Daniel that has 10 horns. That's the 10 kings. Then you have the same beast identified in the book of Revelation with 10 horns. That's the 10 kings. Everywhere you start seeing the 10 horns, the 10 toes, and this number 10 show up in prophecy in the apocalyptic literature, you'll discover it always is referring back, more than likely, to the 10 kings that align themselves with the Antichrist. And the Bible says they give their kingdoms over to the beast in 1 hour's time. So in 1 hour's time, these 10 kings submit all their countries to this one man, which shows you how vicious and powerful he'll be. Someone asked me one time, they said, how could one man get that kind of power? Ask yourself that about Adolf Hitler. A paper hanger? A paper hanger who goes into a beer joint and steps up on a table and starts, you know, a revolution. And the whole world was changed because of it. It can only be understood by one verse in the Bible where it says the dragon, who is a symbol of Satan, gives him his power, his authority, and his throne. That's how it can happen. By that demonic presence that will be moving on this man and inspiring him to do the terrible things that he's going to do. Daniel 7, 7 through 8, I considered the horns, and I think this may be a double scripture, Jonathan, I'm not sure. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, what did I just tell you? He's identified as a little horn. And before whom were the first three plucked up by the root? It's Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. They're plucked up. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things. I like to say it this way. He's a little horn with a big mouth. Really is. All right. Now, what I want to do here is something very important, because I want to go into what I told you a moment ago in the book of Daniel with three beasts. Daniel saw a lion, Daniel saw a bear, and Daniel saw a leopard. And if you go to the scholarly tradition of almost 99% of the scholars who do study prophecy, they will tell you the lion is Babylon, the bear is Media Persia, and the leopard is Greece. The first three empires of Bible prophecy before the Roman Empire came to power. Now, Daniel talks about those beasts and those empires, but he never tells you what the fourth beast looks like. He never gives you that. All he tells you is it's got 10 horns. You have to go to the book of Revelation, to John's vision, where God put it all together for the apostle John. Y'all ready for this? Listen to this verse. This is the verse that deals with the beast symbolism, the Antichrist symbolism, and this is one of the biggest keys to where he's going to rule from. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, that's Satan, gave him his power, his seat, that means his throne, and great authority. So now this man is going to be controlled by Satan himself. Satan's going to give him all the authority that he wants to do whatever he wants. And that's how he's going to have the supernatural power. Now, here's the key. The leopard, the bear, and the lion. The leopard and the bear and the lion are seen, as I said earlier, in the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel. So it tells you in this one chapter all the nations where he is going to be in charge. And let me give those to you. The body of the leopard, the body of the beast is like a leopard. That's Alexander the Great. That's the Grecian Empire. Okay. That would be Persia, which is Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, all that territory of the Middle East. And he has 10 horns, which are 10 nations that come along with him. Then his feet are like the feet of a bear. Where does the bear show up? Daniel 7. What is the bear? It's Media and Persia. And so we find out that in the feet of the bear take up Afghanistan, take up Iran, it takes up another whole section and begins to add to the influence of where this man will rule called the Antichrist. Then he has the mouth of a lion, all right? The lion is the old Babylonian Empire, which is Lebanon, Syria, and a territory today known as Iraq. Not Iran. Iran is across the border from Iraq. Iraq is where Saddam Hussein ruled. So here's what you've got to understand. Because what we're going to share with you is we're going to share with you the headquarters revealed in scripture of where the Antichrist will rule. There are seven heads of the dragon. There are seven empires of prophecy. They are the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, Media Persian Empire, Grecian Empire, Roman Empire. Then there is an empire that I read to you earlier that comes for a short space. Only a short space. And then there is the final empire that rules for 42 months, the last part of the 7-year tribulation. And that is the eighth kingdom of the beast called the Antichrist. And we have just got started and we're about to talk about a wound to the head and what it is and how it will be healed. And we're going to take a praise break right now and give the Lord a praise for this prophetic message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
During the 2024 Prophetic Summit, five speakers unlocked unusual prophetic mysteries, presenting striking insights that many attendees had never heard. We received several testimonies from those who attended. One attendee shared,
"I've studied the Bible my entire life. I binge-watch prophecy programs. Before I came to the conference, I thought I'd heard everything. But after listening to these 13 messages and speakers, I realized I haven't even heard half of it, and certainly don't know as much as I thought."
The 13 2024 Prophetic Summit messages are now available on CD, DVD, USB drive as MP3 audio files, as well as video on demand. Hear Jonathan Kahn as he unveiled the Josiah Manifesto, unlocking more end time mysteries and patterns. Bill Cloud examined the question, "Where in the world is Palestine?" He later taught what the Bible reveals about global warming. It's not what you think. Mark Biltz exposed the designs and plots of the internal war in America. Mark's second message is illustrated with PowerPoint charts, helping identify the true biblical calendar and amazing prophetic parallels. Lance Wallnau released a stunning revelation titled, "How God Will Soon Shake the Visible and Invisible Kingdoms." Lance's second teaching will teach you about receiving the firstborn anointing that brings about the final fall of Satan's influence and the demise of his kingdom. Billy Crone proved by 12 facts exposing that aliens are actually demonic manifestations. You certainly don't want to miss this insightful message. Perry Stone's five new messages are 16 Harbingers, Parallels of the Days of Noah and Lot. Perry then explains the mystery of the eighth beast and the death wound that is healed. In his third message, Perry will give you the seven things that must happen before the Antichrist arrives. You will then be enthralled when Perry transports you into the future with the message, "The Mystery of the New Heavens on the New Earth." This includes the biblical prophecy of an opening on earth where saints on the new earth can peer into hell. Then Perry's most talked about and stirring message, exposing an early family secret in his Italian family, is called the 1915 Warning. This message could save your family's life. This truth can transform your relatives and children for eternity. The 13 audio CDs or USB drive are $70. The 13 DVDs are $105 per set, and the video on demand is available for $90. Invest in your future. Be informed of what is coming. Discover God's latest word on the last days. listen or watch over and over again and glean important spiritual insights. You may order by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or go online at perrystone.org. You may also send a check or money order and order by using the product codes on the screen. The address is Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Order today. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Greetings, everyone. Now, stay with me for the next few moments because I want to share something with you. I hope you get this message, CD or DVD. Now, the DVD does have a lot of pictures that are not on a CD, but the CD is the message only. And the DVD, you're going to be amazed when you see some of the things we're going to share with you. There's an eighth kingdom coming. It's the last one. The eighth goes for 42 months. And what is it about the head of the beast that is healed that forms the eighth kingdom? That's what this whole message is about. And if you've been watching the wars of the Middle East with Persia and Israel and Gaza and Hezbollah in the north, I'm going to tell you this is the early stages. It's not the end. This is the early stages of what I need to teach you. And I hope that you take the time to get this. Now, I had one man say, I thought I studied these verses my whole life and I knew it all, and I'm thinking, well, he's not going to teach me anything new. And then he said, about 80% of your message was things I never heard. I want to study things you don't hear. And we do not put a lot of this on YouTube. Most of the messages at the summit you'll never see on a YouTube channel because of the controversy of some of the content. And it would just be removed. So we don't do that. We do what we do. The excerpt you get, we edit that excerpt out, but you get the unedited version of every speaker, 13 messages. So order that today. Evangel World Prayer Center is our big conference that we have every year, July the 18th. That's a Thursday. Two services Friday, Saturday, and two on Sunday, maybe three on Sunday. Belltown Road in Louisville, Kentucky. I want you to be there. July 27th, 28th at Stuart, Virginia, Harvest Worship Center. I have never been in that area in years, since I was 18 years of age. Martinsville, Danville, all you folks that know me there, you better come out to that meeting because I want to see some of you. I want to see how you've aged, if you've aged like I have. Okay. We have Life Church with Pastor Terry Scott in Charleston, Arkansas on August the 4th. Family Faith Church at the Willis Campus, August the 16th through the 18th. Willis, Texas Family Faith Church, Huntsville Campus on Sunday, August the 18th. Christ Temple at the end of August, Huntington, West Virginia, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 23rd to the 25th. Please take time to at least come to one service and be with me. See you later. God bless you.